Welcome to Park Spark, the podcast of the Florida Recreation and Park Association. We're here to talk about all the ways it starts in parks.
Welcome everyone to Park Spark. I'm your guest host, Miss Christy Carter, out of Tallahassee, Florida, and I have one of my fellow associates, Miss Sally Marvin. Introduce yourself, please, Miss Sally.
Hey, Christy. Good to see you again. I'm Sally Marvin. I'm with the City of St. Petersburg Sunshine Senior Center. Been here for about 30 years. I'm the director of the center, and we just submitted our fourth accreditation.
Congratulations. What might that accreditation be in, Sally?
For National Senior Center accreditation. It's through the National Council on Aging and the National Institute of Senior Centers.
Fantastic. That's a huge accomplishment. We did just completed ours here in Tallahassee about 2 years ago ourselves. I think that was our third one. So very excited. I'm Christy Carter, as I mentioned, out of Tallahassee, Florida. I work for the City of Tallahassee Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhood Affairs. I've been here about 10 years in this particular position over at the Senior Center, but I did start out in community setting. I'm a recreation therapist by background. So with that, I've had the opportunity to work in rehab centers over at Health South, along with adult daycare, and also had the opportunity to work in playgrounds, special events, and now here at the Senior Center. So we're going to be bringing you today some interactive things with the senior centers in our community. As Sally mentioned, she's down in St. Pete, and I'm up here in Tallahassee, and I'm going to share some of the experiences we've had through this COVID and want to make sure that we just know that we're in this together. And as we always say, you see one senior center, you've seen one senior center. We all are unique. And Miss Sally was sharing some uniqueness with her with some dining experiences. Tell us a little bit about that, Sally.
Well, I know a lot of people were used to going out to eat, especially when they don't want to cook for just one person. You know, it's a lot of groceries to buy for just one person. So here we have a cafe, and they've been coming out to the cafe quite a bit. And we've also done started our dine around program a little bit for lunches. That one is going well right now, but with the resurgence of COVID, we may have to scale back the number of people that go, but they're doing that. They're creating their own garden here so they can eat there. It's like a victory garden. They can cook their, you know, make their own vegetables out there in the garden and their seasonings and everything else. And it's got quite a bit growing out there.
So with us here in Tallahassee, we've had a different experience. Our experience with dining is we are part of Elder Care Services, which is our local Meals on Wheels. And we have since only gone down to 2 days a week and only serving about 10 folks a week. Ooh. Which before, and many years ago, I mean like 10 years ago, we used to serve about 70 people a week. So we're seeing a trend of transition with that. Folks are still receiving in-home Meals on Wheels, but the ones who are choosing to come to a congregate meal site are making different choices these days. Mm-hmm. Are y'all seeing any trends like that, Sally?
We are a lot less people in our congregate dining site here on at the Sunshine Center. They've made the tables, instead of seating eight, they only seat four now. So they are spacing out quite a bit in there, and they have come down a lot. The thing I worry about though, with the Meals on Wheels, when we were closed down for COVID, all of our staff delivered those Meals on Wheels, and restaurants would go in and provide the meals for people who weren't necessarily homebound, but who didn't want to come out because of COVID. And so they got free meals as well. Now I worry about what those people are doing now too, because we really haven't heard from a lot of those people.
Yeah, we found during COVID, we've done a lot of call reassurance with folks. We're asking groups and organizations who have returned back to the building, who's missing? Who do we need to check in on? Because that call reassurance has been just, some folks say life-saving. You are like the one call I get a week kind of thing. And so just trying to stay in touch, keep that connection going, and letting folks know that we're here for them. If they're not comfortable coming in person, that we will still continue to provide support services. How about you guys over in St. Pete? How has that worked for y'all?
For
call reinsurances, have y'all continued to do those?
Oh, sure. We were doing 750 a week during COVID, but we've cut way back. We've got one lady who's doing the calls now. She absolutely loves it. She's been able to help people get the services that they need. When she calls them up, how you doing? Well, I just need, you know, diapers and I can't afford them, so I can't go anywhere. So then they call the Sunshine Center and she'll bring them diapers. So that's working quite a bit. And it makes her feel really good that she's able to be involved and not risk herself, because she's just making phone calls or maybe a door-to-door handoff delivery. And that works really well for her. So that's how we're handling the phone calls.
That's a great story. Definitely, for sure. Those success stories of helping folks continue to give. Our volunteers have returned. They're answering our phones for us here at the center. And that has been a huge lifesaver. We are still wearing masks as staff, volunteers, and contractors that come in the building. That is just our protocols here. And people have been very flexible and accommodating with that, but also as mentioned, of working with our groups and orgs. Not all of our groups and orgs are back yet. We're still working. Some of my dance groups who have contact because of the social distancing are choosing not, but then I still have my square dance and my USA ballroom dance are ready. Our bridge classes are still strong. Not as many folks. There has been some changes there, but we're still working with some of our groups who are still, we're going to stay virtual. And so that is also something that we have transitioned. We are offering hybrid classes. So we can offer virtual offerings and also in person for those folks who might be comfortable coming in person and still accommodate those folks who are not, which has also allowed us to serve programming across the nation, which has been fascinating, and also bring in other guest speakers who we wouldn't typically have had contact with because of needing to be in person. So that has been very exciting for us. It's created some horizons, allowed us to learn new technology here with Zoom, using the OWL, which is sort of another camera device for us. So it's been exciting in that aspect. How have you guys had to maybe pivot or learn different things at the Sunshine Center?
Well, they wouldn't really authorize any virtual programming. So we did have a video of our arthritis class, which is really popular. And we did the video on that and put it on YouTube. So they were able to access YouTube. And then when we have our newsletter sent out, we do that electronically to about 700 people every month. When we send that out, we also include links where they can find virtual programming. We did I don't know if you were on for that, the bingo world record. We did that virtually and in person. So there was maybe 20 people here at the center. And then we had a bunch more people that were on the Zoom part of that. And that was a lot of fun. And we did end up breaking the record for the most people playing bingo at one time in Florida. So we were very happy with that.
Fantastic. Yeah. So adaptations and changing and rolling with it. We're taking it a day at a time, each and every day. One thing I also want to mention is self-care. How are we as staff in our community taking care of ourselves? Have you found yourself doing different things now or just trying something different in your own self-care?
Well, for personally, I'm walking a little bit more. It's like I used to go to the mall and walk because it's air conditioned and I don't like to sweat, but but now I'm doing the outside walking more. And I found that it really helps uplift my spirit because you see the nature at work. I have a really nice park across the street from where I live. So it's nice. I can walk through there, take pictures. I can take my time. And it's really, I think, have been a really good meditative exercise for me. So it really helps to calm my mind and my worries. And so we've also started a walking club around the center so that they have little notices near each section and says, okay, you've done 300 steps. Why don't you stop now and touch your toes 3 times and then move to the next spot? So the little things that they can do for that. Self-care is really hard with seniors to begin with. They kind of taper off as they get older, I've found, but the more that we can talk about it and they can come back into the fold, they're starting to pick up their hygiene again and their attitudes because they're able to get out. Isolation is so detrimental to people. It's really sad to see how fast people can go downhill when they don't exercise and they don't get out of their houses. So self-care, I think number one should be socializing, just getting yourself out and about in the fresh air, I think will be huge right now.
Definitely. I recall during early COVID when I wasn't even hardly leaving the house, we had a lot of our classes on demand. So I wasn't going to the gym. So we had that opportunity to do the fitness classes with our seniors and our instructors. So that was a lot of fun. And since then, I have increased my regimen at the gym and being outside to at least 4 days a week and enjoying that interaction. Yes, wearing my mask and also continuing my clogging. Our clogging group has been able to stay together. We danced outside on little platforms for the longest in our director's yard. And then now we're back inside where I'm still a little leery, but I still choose to wear my mask. And again, all about preference and choices and people respecting each other. You mentioned with self-care of seniors and giving them that opportunity of a place to come to. As we always say, this is your senior center. What can we provide for you? And so making sure that folks do know that they have a place to come to, that we can socially distance and things of that sort. So we want to make sure people feel that welcome. We also are continuing our Friends Connection group. Not everybody wants to come in person. So we have a virtual offering and also volunteers that are helping folks to understand technology and how they can do that. And sometimes you don't even know the questions to ask with technology, but trying to help folks so that they can be a part of their Friends Connection groups or other things. And that's been exciting to see many seniors learn those skills who maybe thought they never would before. Now we're Zooming or texting and emailing.
We got a friends. Not to interrupt, but we got a grant and we got 10 tablets. And we brought them to the center. Our idea was we were going to loan them out and also do classes so they could teach it. We found out we couldn't loan them because we can't guarantee what people do on them and their own time with the city. So with the city liability, we couldn't do that, but we gave them away instead and they came to classes. So now some of them know how to Zoom and they know how to do their emails and they know how to send pictures and that kind of thing. And that was a big help for them, especially with their families when they're not traveling. So they can reach them a lot better.
Yes, fun times.
Yeah, we also did, I forgot when we were talking about food, we do a cooking around the world class now. And they come to the center and we do a different country every month. And then we give them the food, we show them how to cook it and do a demonstration of what that country's culture is like, maybe have a guest speaker from that country. And then they get a bag of food to take home and try to cook it on their own. And this is cooking for one or two people. So I think that really helps. We also have the free vegetable truck come by, so they come with free vegetables and canned goods and all kinds of things for people, so they can just go out to the truck and get what they need. So that helps too with the
that
food.
Sounds nice and healthy, and with that lifelong learning opportunity to continue to cook. Is that a partnership with anyone in particular, or is it just a staff member that's taken that on?
There are Healthy St. Pete does it. They have a truck that they bring around. And then they also give a $15 voucher so that they can use that at a grocery store, wherever they need to, or in the actual truck. The other one is with Saving Our Seniors. She goes and shops every morning at 4 a.m. to get the freshest vegetables and then goes every day to give away the same vegetables she just spent all her time getting. So we work with her. She does durable medical goods as well. So
wow, that's a true commitment for sure. Yes, we're able to work with our extension office, and she's done some cooking classes and stuff that have been very exciting and great knowledge to share. Like you said, cooking for one sometimes can be a little different, or because you don't want to eat it for the next 5 days for sure.
Exactly.
But great. Anything else you want to add today, Sally, that folks can be inspired with senior centers?
I think just go ahead and make that initial walk into the sunshine, into the senior center, not the sunshine center, into the senior center. I mean, we are all geared to welcome you. So when you come in, you're going to automatically feel welcome, and you're going to find peers that like the same things that you like. You're going to find people with the same interests as you. And all of a sudden you're going to find that, oh my gosh, this is a place that I need to be, that I need to come. It's so much fun. We do different things. We can go on a trip, or we can just stay here and have breakfast together. We can go to the fitness center. There's so many things that senior centers generally offer that you really can't not find something that you like to do and not find people that you're interested in. I find that our seniors are so warm and welcoming that I love coming to work every day because I get to see their smiling faces. I know who's here. I know who's missing. Like you said, we're all kind of like a big family. So just take that initial step. Don't tell yourself you don't need a senior center because people put that stigma on it. This is a center for you. It's just designed specifically for you. Where else can you say in the world? Someplace is designed specifically for you. So come on in and just give us a shot. That's what I would say.
Definitely. And don't let that name be a stigma or stereotype. Put that behind you. If you think, oh, it's a senior center, No, our magical age is 50 here in Tallahassee, but we serve 18 plus. So we welcome. I did want to comment, Sally. I remember seeing one of y'all's Facebook posts down there. The pajama party. Who would love coming to work in your pajamas?
That's
how
right.
fun
we
was
did.
That?
We did.
Yes.
And if the staff didn't come in their pajamas, we went to the thrift store and got them some pajamas. So. And all the participants showed up with their dolls and their stuffed animals, and they had stories to tell about them and about their family. They got to share, you know, one Christmas event in their family that they remember from their childhood. It was a childhood Christmas revisited theme, and it just went really well. We had a fun time.
That sounds awesome. That's, like I say, it's a fun time. Don't let the word senior center scare you away. Know that it's your place and your place to get creative, be active. We're starting new line dance classes, additional lifelong learning, additional art programs. So again, we're excited and want to say thank you, Sally, for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having
me.
And
glad to have you too. And on to our Parks and Recreation. Thank you so much, FRPA.
Let's go have fun.
Hey listener, it's Nathan Allman at Rep Services. There's been so much change this past year, but one thing has stayed the same. People need parks. After the COVID lockdown, communities value public spaces more than ever, and Rep Services is here to help you create great places in a fun, sustainable, and honorable way. I personally want to thank all FRPA members who continue to trust Rep Services with your playground, shade, shelter, and site furnishing projects. Whether it's a new park project or replacement parts, Rep Services is here to help. To see what we've been up to, check us out at www.repservices.com or on our Instagram page at RepServicesFL. If you still want to learn more about us, reach out to me directly at Nathan@RepServices.com. Now, let's get back to the show.
Christy Carter back with you at the Parks Spark. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am with the City of Tallahassee Parks, Recreation, and Neighborhood Affairs over at the Senior Center. Today, we have joining me my friend, Miss Mary Jo McKay of Hillsborough County Aging Services. Welcome, Mary Jo.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Mary Jo McKay, and I'm with Hillsborough County Aging Services. I manage the county's nutrition and wellness section, where we have 22 locations, 15 dining centers, and 7 senior centers. And I have been with Hillsborough County since 1995, so you know I enjoy what I do.
Yeah, so let's talk about senior services. What's going on down in Hillsborough County?
Well, Hillsborough County is where it's happening. We make it happen. So our centers are still closed, but we know how to still have fun and get our seniors out and to prevent that isolation. So what we've done, we are having, excuse me, we are having parking lot bingo. You know, bingo is hot. So we're having parking lot bingo, and we're moving it all over the county. So where there is a large parking lot, we will show up. So we're doing that. And then we got a mini grant to start a movie program. So we're doing outdoor movie nights. We have the popcorns. We have the hot dog machines. We have your buns. We have your candy. It's this, and my staff wanted to do roller skates, and I said no. Okay, so I said that we can have fun and we can make it happen, but we're not going to be on roller skates. So we're doing that. We're doing some outdoor fitness classes and some grab and go meal deliveries, but just anxiously awaiting our reopening. We're hopefully going to begin reopening our centers in April. We tried for February, but then Omicron came.
Gotcha.
And so, but we are hoping we will begin reopening our centers in April.
Fantastic. Well, that sounds like so much fun. Yes, making the best of a situation for sure, and knowing where the fun is at. How have you or your staff, Miss Mary Jo, been able to help seniors or caregivers in your community?
Okay, well, we're doing a lot of virtual programs as well. Every day we're having virtual programs. And with our caregivers, we are trying to also keep them engaged. So we're offering programs for them, virtual programs. We're sending kits home to some of our homebound seniors. So kits for the activity kits for the caregiver and their loved ones. We partner with our Senior Connection Center, our AAA here, Area Agency on Aging, to provide Uniper to the homebound seniors. And so Uniper is a program where they can participate in activities over the television. So for those of our seniors who cannot use our technology, our Zoom or our FaceTime or whatever technology we're using, they can use that remote. So through Uniper, they're able to participate in activities. And so we've been able to provide those programs for caregivers and homebound seniors through that partnership with our Area Agency on Aging. And then for our staff, we've had to do a lot for our staff to keep them motivated and inspired. So we started a bi-weekly tea time. So they meet with me bi-weekly, we chat, we have fun, we talk about just fun things, and they can ask me anything. And typically it's when we're gonna open. And that's the first question. And then we, I do prizes, and we have a newsletter. So we started a COVID newsletter where they could just post pictures of them, their families, their children, what they're doing, tips on how that they've able to get through this time, they're on the beach, anything, that somebody graduated, some milestone in their lives. So we've been able to do that to keep our staff inspired as well.
Glad you mentioned that. You are so right with keeping staff. You see these trends across the nation. And Tred's reading, how are we keeping staff? How's it going kind of thing? And you brought up some very valuable points because we might not be seeing each other every day, but being able to see those milestones are just huge for sure. And you also mentioned technology. Yes, we are so very blessed with having some volunteers who are willing to help folks over the phone or over Zoom, and then even in person at times, because it is challenging not knowing how to change the settings so that the Zoom meeting that you're on, they can hear you, they can see you. I had the blessing of working with a lady just yesterday, helping her set up her iPad so that she can contribute to her meetings that she's a part of. So definitely very valuable points, and that it's very important to think of the whole picture, because staff are very important. They need outlets too, to be able to express themselves. And it's great that y'all have a program in place so that they know that they are valued. We've been fortunate here in Tallahassee, where some folks are able to still work from home, where those of us like me who enjoy the in-person interaction with our folks, being able to see them in person, but also pick up the phone and call folks as well. Those phone call reassurances, hey, where you been? Or how are you doing? Also, I wanted to share our Capital City Senior Games are kicking off. And we do a torch run in our area, and we have identified 9 different torch bearers to carry the torch. We have a local park here in Tallahassee, Cascades Park. And with that, we will be carrying the torch around, and we are inviting the community to come out. Again, it's all about the community and being out and celebrating life, celebrating being able to be together. So all different sports and venues here in Tallahassee. It's just fun hearing the stories of folks. I know one young lady said, "You just don't know what this means to me." I'm like, "Well, tell me a little more." She's like, "I suffered a heart attack last year, and I will be going to see my cardiologist the next day after the torch run. And this, I am so full of life and so grateful for life." So with that, you just never know how you're going to impact somebody. Mm-hmm. How about you? I'm sure you got some very motivating stories as well, Mary Jo.
Oh, yes. We were just talking the other day about the continuum of care in our department, because we have the very active seniors over my side with the senior centers and the dining centers. And then we have the very frail seniors in another section. Those are homebound seniors. So they're able to start maybe with my program, and we try to keep them there as long as we can. So we're keeping them very active. And then, you know, and end up maybe over in another program. So we were talking about a senior who's been with us over 22 years.
Wow.
22 years. You're talking about that maintaining a quality of life. So we thought this is a project. This is a project, because we serve in our department, we serve approximately about 5,000 seniors. So 5,000 seniors or more, we're saying we're going to look at those seniors and see how many of those seniors have been with us over 5 years in various programs, and how long they stay in, especially over in the more active side, how long that they stay over with us and engaging in our programs. So yeah. So very exciting, very exciting.
That is nice to see that longevity for sure with our seniors. I know I've only been here almost 10 years, and it's just fabulous to see the faces coming in, and it's sad to see when they maybe have to move closer to a loved one. But it is great, oh, yeah, the impact that we can have on our community with the seniors in our community. And it's also very exciting as folks are retiring. We're mm-hmm. very fortunate here in Tallahassee to have the university, the state system, and all of that. And then folks just show up. I'm retired. Now, what can I do? Oh mm-hmm. my goodness. We have pickleball. We have all of these different offerings, and just trying to connect them in one piece. Like today it might be here at the senior center, but tomorrow they might be out in a local community park participating in different things. And just those connections, the socialization that is formed in those bonds. I remember a girlfriend talking about her mom. She couldn't reach her on the phone. And so her mom finally called her later in the evening. Don't worry about me. I was out to lunch with the art ladies from class that I met. So it's just fun to hear the interactions that are made, not necessarily intentional, but just by mm-hmm. magic, for sure.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So anything else you'd like to share today, Mary Jo?
Well, we do have 22 locations. And I'm over in the Department of Aging Services. So we're unique. So we do have a parks department. And our parks department, we work in partnership with our parks department. So some of our locations are inside of parks. And then also next door to our parks department's facility. And so we don't have the pickleball court, but the parks has the pickleball court. So our people get to get the best of both worlds. So I have 15 dining centers, and we have a more than a meal concept that we operate on. So that's why they have activities, because we said, okay, seniors need more than a meal. Most of our dining centers are located in senior housing facilities, and we lease a space there. And so they get the meal, and then they participate. Maybe they're participating like maybe an hour or two in activities and programs. We're in the 7 senior centers, larger, and the seniors are coming there and staying, some of them coming and going, and some staying all day to participate in activities, and they're pretty much coming and going as they would like to. One of the things that we're really, really excited about resuming is our large special events. Mm-hmm. Our special events, typically, we will have about 500 seniors attend our special events.
Nice.
We celebrate all of the heritage. I mean, Hispanic heritage, Black heritage. We have an Asian theme event. And then we will have senior prom and wacky Olympics. And typically it is standing room only. And at those events, we get to get our county commissioners to come to. and they give out the awards, or so that's all that's an opportunity for our commissioners to see what the county's resources are going to and how many people they are impacting. And and even our events now, like the parking lot bingo, we have waiting lists. I mean, we're getting calls and it's like, okay, because we can only handle maybe about 50 cars in the largest of parking lots. And but those that can just bring a lawn chair, get a van to drop them off and get a lawn chair, they can come in for that as well. Same thing with the movies, standing room only. One of the things that we didn't anticipate was that for the movie nights, the seniors are bringing their grandchildren. So that just, I mean, so an intergenerational program happened without us even planning it. So the grandkids are coming there, they're eating the candy and enjoying the popcorn and they're eating more than the seniors. So we actually had to purchase more because the grandkids, we didn't budget for the grandkids, all of the eating that they would do.
Yeah. Do you charge for these events or any of these dining services?
No, they're all free. So our Hillsborough County government covers the cost for all of those. And then we get some sponsors for our special events. So we get sponsors. We get sponsorship to the tune of, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 for the big special events.
Fantastic.
And then the Kiwanis typically will sponsor our parking lot bingo. So we do get a lot of sponsorship. So the things that we don't get sponsorship for, the county will cover, but most of them we get sponsorships for.
Well, you brought up a good point. Here in Tallahassee, we do have our main senior center. And then we also have 13 outreach sites in our unincorporated areas. And we have fitness classes, art classes, and typical time, we are doing a lunch and learn where we have exhibitors and a lunch, and we typically ask for a $6 donation for those, but we're not going to turn folks away. So interesting how similarities and different models as well throughout. We're also getting an additional senior center up here in Tallahassee. We're very excited about that in our east end of town. We're in design. We're now just working through price increases and looking at potentially some additional dollars to try to help make the magic come into place. But we're making headway on that. So looking forward. So if you're interested in new builds and strategies, which we've been able to use here in Tallahassee, don't hesitate to reach out to our director, Ms. Sheila Salyer, and because she's been the lead on that particular project. But it's exciting to be getting an additional senior center. Yes. We've been here at our old armory since 1978. So been here a few years, but very excited as it has grown. Through the years. I don't recall the data of the early years, but now we're about up to 22 different individuals. We're not all city employees. We do have a not-for-profit arm on our foundation. So some of my coworkers are foundation members and not everybody's full-time. So it's been a great place for maybe folks returning to work and just working part-time. So that's a nice blessing as well.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to tell you publicly that we have copied a lot from you. Okay. Over the years, you guys have been leaders in the senior center arena for years. So yes. So if you come and look at some of our things and it looks very familiar, that's why. Okay.
But that's what it's about, sharing information. Know that I'm piggybacking on some of your heritage information coming up here real soon as one of my goals this particular year. So we'll be continuing to network together, Mary Jo, and looking forward to that opportunity. And just want to say thank you for being with us here today on ParkSmart. And we appreciate the opportunity to share about senior centers across the state of Florida.
Thank you for listening to ParkSpark. For more information about the Florida Recreation and Park Association, please visit frpa.org.